Burgers are one of the most popular foods in America. You've probably eaten one recently, and you're definitely craving one now that we're talking about it. Make this summer one to remember with Good Ranchers. Right now, listeners will get free Wagyu burgers for a year. If you haven't had their American Wagyu burgers, I was just telling people here in the office, you're definitely missing out. My mouth is watering just thinking about it. Simply go to GoodRanchers.com and subscribe to any of their custom curated boxes filled with 100% American beef, chicken, pork, or wild caught seafood. Use code DAILYWIRE at checkout to claim your free American Wagyu burgers for a year. Not only is this a $400 value, but you'll also get a free bacon butter gift that's the perfect bacon topping for any burger. And in case you needed any other reason to support Good Ranchers, they support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Every order you make saves American farms and directly supports American veterans. Change the way you buy your meat today. Go to GoodRanchers.com and use code DAILYWIRE to claim your free burgers for a year and support veterans this Memorial Day season. That's GoodRanchers.com. Use code DAILYWIRE. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
Hey, it's Andrew Klavan. Welcome to this week's interview. I'm delighted to be talking to Glenn Beck. The White House is desperately appealing to the Supreme Court to give them permission to censor Americans on social media before the next election, like they did in the last election. They want to make sure they can do what they did last time when they tricked and intimidated social media into killing the Hunter Biden laptop story, which turned out to be 100% true and ultimately silenced the president of the United States. And they're obviously afraid because at the same time, YouTube and Google silence voices that go against the diktats of the regime. Elon Musk has begun to construct a media model at X that gives a platform to more independent voices like Megyn Kelly and Tucker Carlson. But dearly as I love Megyn Kelly and as much as I respect Tucker Carlson, and as high as my hopes are for what Elon Musk is doing, they would not be playing in the space they're in if it were not for Glenn Beck. You know, there are things that people do that everyone can see. They're right there on your television. And Glenn Beck is one of the things I know well is broadcasting. I grew up in broadcasting. Glenn Beck is one of the great broadcasters of our day. And when I say that, the word great is not something you hear come out of my mouth a lot. I'm talking about there's Rush. I hope Ben Shapiro makes it into those ranks. And then there's Glenn. And that's it. Those are the great broadcasters of our day. When he was back on Fox back in the day, he created this original way of sharing the conservative vision that wasn't just analytical like everybody else. It was also performative and emotional and artistic in ways that just changed the game. And then it became huge. And then he did this amazing thing, which is that he left Fox and created what eventually became The Blaze. And that Blaze was a model and has been a model for independent broadcasting that created the mental and imaginative space for what Elon Musk and Megyn and Tucker are doing now. And when you do something like that, a lot of stuff happens off screen that the public doesn't know about, doesn't have to know about, doesn't understand. But the first guy who walks into that new place takes a lot of hits, makes a lot of discoveries, does a lot of new things that nobody gets to understand because he's the first guy into this darkness and everybody else is walking in his footsteps. And Glenn has taken The Blaze and he has done original, exciting, different work that only he could do. And those of you who listen to my show know I'm not a respecter of persons. I've talked to the most famous people on earth and I've never been overly impressed. To me, Glenn is a genuine broadcasting icon and pioneer, and also one of the craziest people I've ever met, but in a delightful way. Glenn, thank you for coming on.
Gosh, Andrew, I don't know what to say after that. We were joking before we went on. You said you want to do a couple of minutes, and I said you're a good fiction writer, so this should be good. Honestly, that is one of the nicest things coming from you. That is, I mean, I will remember this moment for a long time. You calling me a great broadcaster.
Oh my God.
Is truly meaningful. No. Thank you.
Well, I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it.
And I know.
And it is something that's the business I grew up in. My dad was, I think, one of the top broadcasters of his day. And I've watched you from the beginning. It's just, you know, it's original. It's just original and new
Thank
and
you.
Freshened everything.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have to say, I was looking at the title of your new book, Dark Future, Uncovering the Great Reset's Terrifying Next Phase. And I just cracked up. I mean, that is like classic Glenn Beck. Will nothing cheer you up, Mr. Beck?
Yes. Actually, a lot of things cheer me up. A lot of things have been cheering me up. I believe in the power of the people again. I think they're starting to wake up on both sides. Unfortunately, I think we're looking at Biden. I don't think he's going to be the candidate, but Biden and Trump, and it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be the same, you know, gee, do I hold my nose for this guy or hold my nose for this guy? It's just so frustrating where we are because I think the machine has built this. Yeah. This is where they want us to be. I had a listener on who voted for Joe Biden and will vote for him again. I was trying to understand other people's point of view today. And so I just wanted to ask people questions and not argue, not try to win, just listen to them. And he was talking about I can't vote for Donald Trump. And he said, now he doesn't see his side as being, you know, Joe Biden being divisive, which I thought was a little unique. But he said, honestly, I would vote for either side if it was a young guy. Mm. And I just think it's time for that generation to let go.
Yeah.
Go home. Go home, be with your family. Yeah. You've had your run. You should not be making decisions now for my children.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe people my age, 60, but I'd much rather have somebody 35 or 40 that is in there and then they leave.
Right.
Just I have a hard time sometimes with my cell phone. How do I take a picture? Jeez, man, it's a different world. What do you say?
You know, Dan Henninger over at the Wall Street Journal wrote a column saying the first party who figures this out, that nobody wants these guys and changes candidates, is the party that will win. And
yes.
I can't help feeling
I think it's going to be the. Yeah, it's going to be the Democrats.
He said the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be the Democrats.
Because
they. This impeachment thing, this goes way too deep. The actual stories on this go all the way to Ukraine and Zelensky's office. Donald Trump's perfect phone call wasn't perfect because he thought Zelensky wasn't in on this. And he's clearly in on this now with the news that is coming out about his offshore accounts and all of this stuff. This goes deep. And Biden, I think, is the perfect fall guy because now, I mean, if I were part of this, you would think you're a fiction writer. You would think you would go, well, we don't want him because then that scandal can come out. Now, you know, if we pick him and we put him in and we've worn everybody out on this over 4 or 5 years, we just come to him at the right time and say, you know what? You're an old man. You choose. But you're losing the support of the people and you need to go away. You want this to stop? The way to stop it is just go away right now. And people, when you bring it up after he retires, everyone will say, what difference does it make?
Huh.
Because it's not just about him. It's all of it.
Oh, he's
all
been,
of it.
He and his family have been influence peddling forever.
Oh, forever.
But I noticed this too. You know, David Ignatius, very liberal, yes. Washington Post yes. columnist says, love
CIA
this.
Guy.
Yeah, the greatest president yeah. ever. He should go away.
Right. You know? Right. I think, I don't know if you know this. I didn't know this until Roger Ailes told me. He called me off and said, stop going after Van Jones. And I said, excuse me? You know what we have on Van Jones? He said, yes, they're calling it off. He's going away. And I said, how do you get that information? He opened up the Washington Post, the style section. Mm. And there was an article in the style section about how Van Jones was thinking about moving into blah, blah, blah. And he said, and I said, well, what do you know? How do you know this is speculation? He said, it's the style section, Glenn. It has nothing to do with style. Mm. And a long time ago, that's how people would send messages in the style section of the Washington Post. So it wasn't news. And so if it needed to be a planted story, if it needed to send a signal, the White House could call the Washington Post and they'd say, not in the news, but you can put it in the style section.
So
that's what telegraphs things to enemies.
So how conspiratorial are you at this moment? I mean, you have this moment when things are really strange, right? It's not just me. I mean, they're butchering children to change their sex, yes, and they're, you know, aborting children like crazy and letting rapists and murderers go free because we're all so evil, we deserve it. And then
letting people burn our cities down. But if you touch a cop in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, you get, you know, you don't even have to be there. You get 22 years.
It's amazing. I mean, it is amazingly dirty and amazingly out in the open and aggressive. It's that period. There's a period in corruption where they're just saying, oh, yeah, we can do anything we want and you can't do anything about it.
And we're there.
So,
yeah, I'm gravely concerned about that attitude. I think it's pretty safe to say that the Constitution hangs by a thread, if not by a thread, that thread's been cut. We are almost completely divested ourselves from the Constitution. But on the conspiracy thing, I actually have some real hope on that, because I'm trying to buy a U.S. spacesuit or anything from the moon, because I want to keep it in private hands, because I'm convinced if we lose this battle and bad guys take over that hate our country, they'll destroy all of our history and pervert it. And if you don't have something proving that America went to the moon, it'll be assigned to Russia or China or somebody else.
Wow, really?
And because we've done so many bad things. And in the last period, you know, did we kill Kennedy or not? I don't know. It's beginning to look like, yes, we did. Hmm. However, when you look at all of the conspiracies, these conspiracies, look at how many whistleblowers there are.
Yes.
This is interesting to me because people, I've always said, you're going to fake the moon landing? Really? Do you realize how many people you'd have to silence?
Right.
Okay. This is an example of that. These are things that are conspiratorial, but you have leaks in the White House, you have leaks in the CIA, you have leaks in the Justice Department, FBI, you have leaks everywhere, IRS. Something this big can't go unnoticed, and you can't kill enough people to keep them silent.
Yeah.
So I actually have faith that the things generally that we thought were true are fairly true. And the, you know, did we go to the moon? Yes, we went to the moon. I'm pretty sure of it. But the things that have happened recently, that's all cover up. These things are true based on the number of whistleblowers.
Yeah.
And the facts they're coming out with. It's not just like, hey, I think. You know, they're doing that in Texas with Ken Paxton. But here is the evidence. Here, I have the text. I have the message. I have the phone call. So this is a lot different than anything I've seen before.
And do you think, I mean, I opened up talking about what I really do believe is your effect on the growing media, the new media. Is that breaking through? I mean, is it a change?
Gosh, yes.
You know, because I'm watching, obviously, this mainstream media, and they're going, there's no evidence. There's no evidence. I thought, like, well, wait, there's no proof yet, but there's a ton of evidence.
There's lots of evidence.
Lots of evidence.
So
are new voices breaking through, or are we talking to ourselves?
Absolutely. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Look at this, Andrew. This should really cheer somebody up who's a little pessimistic. 35% of Democrats now believe Joe Biden may have done something illegal. 35% of Democrats, they're not getting our news, the news from us. Yeah. You know, they're getting their news over there. Well, over there, they're saying everything is fine. So where are they getting that news? They're getting exposed to people like us and our, you know, Daily Wire, The Blaze, all of these now big institutions that are starting to really hit their stride. It is affecting them, because otherwise, why would 35% of Democrats,
right,
why would they think that? Why?
Yeah.
They're getting something somewhere, and it ain't from them, because you don't, you know, you watch CNN and everything else because you have to. It's a completely different story.
Yeah.
Completely different story.
So that's, so that is a positive thing, because I really feel that the press shutdown of information is one of the worst things we're facing. So the one thing, I mean, if there's one thing that I agreed with Donald Trump 100% about, it was those people, the press had become the enemy of the people. And
I agree.
Think, yeah. Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, it's not, yes. So the founders, when the Sedition Act went in, they had this great debate on freedom of press and freedom of speech. And they came down to the position that even if the press knowingly is lying, you, as the government, you must not get involved, because you start to go into political territory. And so you might have a lot of people that are in love with the government or in love with a certain politician and don't like the press, or vice versa. And so what are you doing? You're making the government the arbiter of truth. And it's too dangerous to do that, because a government that is the arbiter of truth can lie to you all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah. they made the point of saying, no matter how heinous it is, even if its intent is to lie about the government, it's got to be fair game. Got to leave it alone.
Yeah. Well, you probably know by now, we're all fans of our friends at Genucel. Don't just take my word for it. Ella from Rockford says, I have both age and acne spots, and this stuff is actually fading both of them. This serum is worth every penny. Ella is raving about the famous dark spot corrector from Genucel, a must-have after months of record heat and humidity. Sunspots, brown spots, discoloration, even red inflamed patches all disappear in front of your very eyes. And here's the Genucel amazing guarantee. You will see results on day one, or your money back. So take advantage of Genucel's most popular package, which now includes the dark spot corrector, plus the classic Genucel bags and puffiness treatment and immediate effects, all at about 70% off, so you can try the best skincare in the world for yourself completely risk-free. It's simple. Go to Genucel.com/Klavan and start looking years, even decades younger tomorrow. Say goodbye to dark and liver spots, bags, puffiness under the eyes, crow's feet at Genucel.com/Klavan. That's Genucel.com/Klavan. You will look in the mirror and say, how do you spell Klavan? It's K-L-A-V-A-N. No E's in Klavan.
There are no E's in Klavan.
So, whenever we talk, I always feel I have this kind of comical sense that we're the masks of comedy and tragedy, and that I sort of think like everything's going to turn out right. And you've always come closer to the truth. I remember when you were just starting The Blaze, walking in and you had three television sets on the wall, and there London was burning and people were getting shot. And I said, oh, I've just walked into your imagination. So we're looking at this. We are looking at a dark moment. There's no question about it. And yet, I can't help feeling that there is some kind of rebellion in the human heart that's going to come up. And yet you've written this book, Dark Future, about the Great Reset.
But Dark Future is only Dark Future if you don't know it. Hmm. Or you know it and you don't stand. You know, if you are informed, an informed republic, an informed populace can actually make decisions outside of the crisis moment. But they're making everything a crisis and an emergency right now to keep your dinosaur brain just going, no, bad, good, bad. That's not healthy. You need to know these things in advance, and we can change them. And I will tell you, ESG is almost dead. Build Back Better has just been renamed, and they blame it on the book that I wrote, Great Reset. They said it is Russell Brand and Glenn Beck have taken this and done so many conspiracy theories on it that it's over. And so they've rebranded everything. BlackRock is saying, and I don't believe it at all, BlackRock is saying, you know what? We're getting away from this. No, they're not. No, they're not. But we've pushed them back into their little hole. And that's not me or Russell Brand. That's telling people what the truth is, them doing their homework and then going, you know what? No. 22 states have taken some form or another action against ESG. 22 states.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And you know, you saw the boycott on Bud Light and, you know, that was pretty impressive. I mean, I understand that they have all kinds of resilience and other forms of income, but still that took the most popular beer brand in America and took it and disappeared.
That's a pretty low hurdle, though, too. I mean, I'm excited about it, but it's a pretty low hurdle because you're standing there opening the door, or you're walking up to a bar and they have all these different taps in front of you. It's easy to go, not that one, that one.
Uh-huh.
It's harder. Disney, what are you going to do?
Yes.
Disney.
Yes.
How are you going to get around some of these gigantic corporations? Target is one of them. Target is a really good store. It has groceries and it has high quality items that are inexpensive. And I know women all over that are like, you can't take Target away. You can't. I can get too much done in one place too fast at a good price. And so that's why they were hit, but they didn't have the effect of Bud Light because Bud Light is the lowest price to get in.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to Disney for a moment. I know Walt Disney was a big hero of yours and certainly kind of the model of what an American businessman could be and could accomplish.
Yeah.
And they have really...
What an American that has nothing can create.
Yep. And they have taken that brand and they have polluted it morally. There's just no question about it.
Polluted it? I guess if it's a Chernobyl kind of meltdown pollution. I've never seen that brand since 1928 all the way up until maybe the year 2010. It started to go awry. And then by 2022, it's over. They destroyed that brand, destroyed it. I've never seen self-sabotage and destruction of not even thinking destruction. They had the brand that people would have paid anything to have that kind of credibility on families. And they were so arrogant, they just flushed it all down the toilet. They'll never get it back. They're talking about selling ABC now, which is good. They'll break up that. But I really think they're over. So, I really do.
So now, this is the question that has been bothering me, and I think you for a long time. I mean, the only reason I started talking in front of a camera, something I never, ever imagined myself doing, was when I came back after 7 years, living 7 years out of the country, I thought, oh my God, the culture has been taken over. And it's, and when I talked to conservatives then and said, you've got to do something about the culture, they looked at me like I was nuts. They looked at me like I'd landed from outer space. Now everybody's talking about it. I know that Daily Wire.
I have tried to hire you to write movies for me.
Yeah.
That I would love to produce over and over again. You get it. And you're not, we're just starting, Andrew, to get to the place to where we have the assets, the money, the distribution access.
That's the big one. Yeah,
That's the big one. To be able to make good quality movies. We're just beginning to get there. I think one of the breakthroughs was The Chosen.
Yes.
That thing is
huge.
So well done. It doesn't feel like a conservative movie usually feels. you know, and that is exciting. I mean, I can't tell you, I'm working on some things with a few movie studios and schools and local theaters to help grow the next generation.
Yes.
I firmly believe that we have got to stop going to the barrel and instead go to the tree to pick the apples. Mm. Our apples, our children go, I want to do that. And then we're like, okay, well, go over to this rotten barrel to learn all about it. Mm-hmm. And then the ones that do keep their soul, we look down at the bottom of that barrel and go, can we patch you up enough to come back and try here? We got to stop that.
Yeah.
We got to stop sending our children in for slaughter, because there's a lot of people now that are starting to, they want to restore a culture or at least have a better culture than the one that they have.
So wait, that's a very daring vision. I want to make sure I understand it. You're going to teach young people how to do these things, but then where do they go when they get out? Will there be places for them to go?
That's why I'm working with theaters. I'm working with movie studios. I'm trying to make a very large partnership. None of this is for money. You know, this is, I think, could be in the end, if we can figure it out, unlock it. I think this could be the best thing or the most important thing I may have contributed in my life. Because I, for one, believe in apprenticeships.
Yeah.
I believe that the best way to learn is not to go to school, but go to really bright people. School is fine. If it's a liberal arts school and we're actually learning, you know, history and everything else, that's great. But when you want to be an artist, you want to do my job. I will tell you right now, I'd open my door for anybody who is serious that wanted to have a future. I'd teach everything I have to pass it on so it can go on. And if we can find directors and actors and studios that will actually say, look, you're going to have a few courses in this, that's part of it, but at some point you come here to this studio and you become an apprentice at this studio, and you can learn by doing it. I think that is where we need to go, but we didn't have all of the assets. You know, I have the old Paramount studios in Dallas, but we use them for TV production. So you want to learn how to do TV and political stuff, you can intern here. But what about you want to make movies? What if you want to make comedies? We have to have the ability to do this. And all the way from the gaffer to the executive producer and the actress have to have all of those covered.
I mean, what I love about this is you understand, and again, you have been one of the very few people to understand this, that Hollywood's not going to change. I mean, build our own places.
You know, this idea came to me actually from a friend who, you know, I don't know if you know that I'm a painter.
I do.
I'm more of like I can whip out one room in like 3 hours. so I'm more of that kind of painter, I feel, than a trained artist. But I've been hanging out with a lot of artists and I have something that they don't have. I don't have to sell my art. Mm. They do.
Yeah.
And because of that, they get into this, you know, art gallery vortex, and they're known for one thing and they have to stay in that one thing because that's what sells. And by the time they reach their 40s, they're kind of like, I want to do something else. And they don't know anymore how to tell stories. In art school, you're not taught to tell stories. Mm. Well, that's what Michelangelo did. That's what Leonardo da Vinci did. That's what the stained glass windows were. You had people who were illiterate and they needed to see. We've taken all of our heroes, all of our stories, and instead we've reduced them to either modern art, which says nothing, or a picture of a beach, you know, or a painting of a barn. That doesn't tell you anything. Mm. Nothing.
Yeah.
And so we've been getting together with something called the Inspired Arts League. Really great artists, some of the best artists in the world. One of the best artists, in fact, the artist of India, probably one of the greatest portrait artists in America. I mean, just wonderful people. They come to my ranch the last 2 years, and I don't, but like this year, we had somebody who did a lot of the art direction from everything from Little Mermaid all the way into Marvel, and he left, and he came in last year, I think it was Pixar, came in and just taught story. Mm. Here you right. pick a story. Now, how do we paint that? How do we pick capture that story so people want to learn more? And these are the things that the right never pays attention to, and that's why we lose.
Shockingly, this has been a very optimistic and hope-inspiring.
That is so funny.
From a point that I talked to you and walked away feeling better than I felt when I started.
We should end it here, yeah, then.
I could talk to you for hours, but I do have to stop. And I really appreciate your coming on. That I am so happy to hear. I mean, look, they're thinking about it here at the Daily Wire. I'm thrilled with what they're doing. I'm thrilled they're doing it. But I just think that you have been at the forefront of this forever, and I'm thrilled to hear that you are concentrating on this. It's a big deal.
Well, you know me well enough, and I've told Jeremy and Ben, I don't care who gets credit. I don't care about the money or anything else. Anything I can do to help you guys, I am in. If I can help you in any way, you know, even just by shutting up about you, that is totally good. I will ask you this, you know, because I think we were supposed to talk about the media, at least that's what I was told. And I wanted to know if the media, the way they are right now, if let's say there was like a house fire and three people and their nannies were dragged out of the house fire and they were shot. Do you think the media would cover that, or the investigators would, or would it take somebody who does something else, kind of like a hobby?
You read my book.
It is fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
It's
really excited about it.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Well, may I invite you on my program?
I would love to come on. Yes.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks.
In case you don't know, The House of Love and Death, available soon.
What a guy. I invite you on my show and you plug my book. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
It's great talking to you. I'll see you again soon, I hope.
I love you. Please say hi to your family. Say hi to your wife, and your son is just so remarkable.
Ah, thank you. He loved coming on your show. Thanks.
Yeah. God bless.
Well, folks, you heard it from Glenn Beck himself. Go out and pre-order The House of Love and Death. You will love it. And also get Glenn's book, Dark Future, Uncovering the Great Reset's Terrifying Next Phase. And also come back on Friday for The Andrew Klavan Show. I will see you then.
Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC.